morning, ladies and gentlemen. The deepest watch in the room alleges it's 29 minutes past 9. So I would encourage those who have not had something to drink. I'm one of the poorest chairpersons, so you'll have to make do with my very poor fare at the back of you. So feel free to partake in the letter that we have. Everyone is welcome. I'd like to thank Mr. Honorable Sithole. He rescued me just from a meeting in the Chief Works Office, and somehow my mind told me that this meeting is taking place in Marksburg. So I was merely walking up the stairs, first floor towards the second floor, and asked me, where are you going to, Jefferson? I said, where are you going to? Where is the meeting? Then he reminded me that we always meet this end of the room. So on that very happy note of inter-party leadership, so I'd like to welcome members and also welcome the delegation from the Department of Public Works. We do have a apology from the Director General of Public Works, who is engaged in a meeting with the Minister of Public Works. But I would like to welcome everyone else, stakeholders, interested parties, and those who just come and observe the workings of Parliament. I'd also like to welcome Mr. Adams back. The last time I saw him was 2 or 3 weeks ago. They said he was going to clear his eyes so that he could see his wife better. So we are all happy for you, sir. Your eyes, they seem okay. And the less I say about somebody who was squeezed by a partner, the better. It was a very loving hug, but too tight. So she had to see the doctor. I have a very low names. Yes. Don't look for anybody who's blushing. Good folks, we are here to get the report on the first quarter. Delegation from the department, my in your able hands, ladies and gentlemen. Although this time you seem to have 5 gentlemen and 1 lady. Gender. Well, in your able hands. Thank you.
Chairperson, members of the portfolio committee, my name is Zaya Govender, and I'm assisting the Director General, who has apologized, given that he's in a meeting with the Minister. He will join us as soon as that meeting terminates. At that time, I shall introduce the delegation that we have. On my immediate left is Mr. Cox Mokoro. He's the Chief Financial Officer. He will also be assisting today to do a presentation on the financial aspects of our first quarter report. We also have Deputy Director General for EPWP, Mr. Henderson, who will be assisting us in presenting the EPWP report on our first quarter performance. We also have Acting Deputy Director General for Project and Professional Services, that's our Construction Project Management, Mr. Ngozi Vilakazi. We have our Chief Director for Monitoring and Evaluation, Mr. Luwazi Mashlangu. Our Chief Director for Communications and Marketing, Mr. Mutulibani. Our Chief Director for Intergovernmental Relations, Mr. Adam Ntuleni. And we have our Chief Director for Asset Registry, assisting us in asset investment management issues today, Mr. Florence Vadaba. That's our delegation. The presentation will be shared between myself, Mr. Henderson, and the CFO. In making the presentation to the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Chairperson, I'd like to draw the attention of House that the slides we've got in red, the appropriate eight numbers that could be referred to in the actual quarterly report, that say pages, on, for example, on slide 6, pages 4 to 14. So that helps members to reference the slide in relation to the actual quarterly report that has been presented. Now, in the opening remarks, this is the first time we present a quarterly report after a substantial outcome of our stabilization phase. I must indicate that a report on the turnaround was presented to Cabinet and endorsed or noted, and it is a 7-year turnaround plan. In the first part of our stabilization phase, we focused on four major areas. A clean audit, getting the immovable asset register completed, focusing on correcting risk management, and fighting fraud and corruption. For those areas, we will move into what is called the efficiency phase of the turnaround. There are a number of areas that we will also pick up in terms of stabilization. These include our construction project management, areas of asset investment that we're not focused on in the first phase of the stabilization, like our vesting processes, our immovable asset management framework, etc. And then our disposals. In respect of our construction management, a significant focus will occur in this period of turnaround, amongst many others. What I can also inform the House is that Cabinet, over the last 2 weeks, has endorsed the business case for the creation of a property management trading entity into a government component, the key being first to operationalize the PMT within the next few months, and then to work towards the creation of a government component. It's important I make these statements to place in context the report that we are going to present. In presenting this report, therefore, Mr. Chairperson, you will notice that whereas we have stated our achievements, I will also draw your attention to areas of non-achievement. The purpose of our presentation is to inform the Portfolio Committee on the progress that we have made, to try and demonstrate our improvement in performance, and also to highlight areas of our non-achievement, and to allow you an opportunity to question us related to our achievements and non-achievements. Our vision is to be a service-orientated public works department that delivers on infrastructure accommodation for government service delivery whilst adding value and contributing to the national agenda for socio-economic development. We focus on 5 strategic objectives, the first being an efficient, competitive, and responsive accommodation infrastructure network for government that is aligned to outcome 6 and 12. The second being offering strategic leadership and regulation in the construction and property sectors to promote transformation, economic development, economic empowerment, skills development, and opportunities for built environment professionals, focusing on black professionals. Leads to outcome 5. Third strategic objective is good corporate governance to support effective and efficient service delivery linked to outcome 12, decent employment through inclusive economic growth, strategic objective 4, linked to outcome 4. Strategic objective 5, contribute to comprehensive rural development outcomes and linked to outcome 7. Program 1 is management and administration. Serves to provide strategic leadership support services, including accommodation needs, for the overall management of the Department of Public Works. In this regard, it's linked to outcome 4. We have some sub-program that we will reflect upon is our internal audit and investigation services, our strategic management unit, our monitoring and evaluation, intergovernmental relations, finance and supply chain headed by the Chief Financial Officer, and audit services. Our achievements, I just want to highlight a few. They have made significant progress as of the end of the last financial year in respect of a clean audit outcome. The Department of Public Works itself has achieved an unqualified audit. The target this financial year is to improve in respect of management findings related to that unqualified outcome. In respect of the PMTE, we have moved from a disclaimer to a qualified. The target in this financial year is to see further improvement with a target of an unqualified. In terms of our risk register, we've made progress on the implementation of action plans in the risk registers. This is informed by the high operational risk that we need to mitigate in a department like public works. 100% of our investigations on allegations, these have been initiated on reported allegations within 30 days. It's linked starkly to call by our minister and our focus in stabilization, fighting fraud and corruption. This is it. To concerted efforts to deal with fraudulent transactions, even those detected in IT procurement fraud. In respect of the reduction of irregular expenditure, we have targeted a 15% reduction, and we had anticipated a baseline of 3.6 billion. The CFO is going to reflect on this with a greater detail later, and the increase in that baseline. But we have exceeded our target of 5% reduction to 15. In the sector of payment of invoices within 30 days, 5% of compliant invoices are settled within 30 days. This is important, not merely as a compliance requirement, but a necessity to strengthen and empower suppliers and boost our economy. In this regard, the CFO would reflect on the actual days of improvement from GDW from 33 to 15 days, and PMTE from 51 days to 31 days. In terms of skills development programs, we can say that 755 beneficiaries are participating in our skills development program, and 229 artisan trainees, given that we are an organization that requires a lot of technical skills, are participating in our artisan training development program with a view to strengthening our service delivery through what we call our service centers or workshops, and eventually providing us the internal capacity to maintain our buildings and repairs. In terms of the HR plan, which is approved, seeks to address HR-related issues affecting the department. This plan includes detailed actions on recruitment plans and skills development. The approval of the PMTE is going to perhaps require some adjustments to these HR plans which we have. In respect of Program 2, which is the bulk of our operations, it is called Removable Asset Management. this will change. This constitutes the core of what is called property management trading entity activities. It includes asset investment, which is strategic asset investment analysis, project and professional services, which is our construction program management function, our energy generation, which is to focus on Thane and ultimately contribute to supporting the development of rural areas, our patient management, our key account management, the support of our clients, especially on demand management issues, and lastly, prestige services. Our achievements in respect, in terms of asset register, 22,504 properties against a target of 14,214 properties were populated with information fields that are compliant with GRAC, as is the requirement from an accounting framework, requirement for the TMD. This represents an achievement in excess of our target. In terms of the value of immovable assets of 39,496 has to be determined as compared with the quarter target of 28,432, so our progress also exceeds the target. Budget variations on completed projects. 29 projects were completed with less than a 15% budget variation. That's a significant achievement given the history of variation orders and skyrocketing costs for infrastructure development. In terms of our lease agreements, we're now able to say we our target of 100%, 97% of the leases are signed or were signed within 30 days of finalization of an open bid process for the quarter. In terms of the Thane Inner City development, we have contributed through the development of the Salvacorp spatial framework. Salvacorp is an area where we hope to build a distance for government and to provide national headquarters for many departments. I must at this point indicate, in respect of this program, Chairperson, there are some areas of significance in respect of non-achievement. In respect of DEFT, we have it underachieved quite significantly of 100 of a target of 2,750. In respect of the immovable asset management framework, it shows that we have yet to appoint a service provider. And in respect of the disposals of land, our targets of 7 for land reform and 4 for housing were not achieved. I will come back to indicating a way forward that we have devised. In respect of the school's construction, we have a target of designing 18 of those schools in relation to the topography of the land. None has been done to it.
Okay, we'll be given guidance. The mic is very energetic, that's the noise. Pardon that. Could you kindly make sure that you take members along with you?
Okay, thank you.
Otherwise, we frantically try and check where it is. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, I am back on slide 11. Slide 11, 10 and 11 only dealt with achievements. What we have not put in, and I'm going to refer to, if we looked at in the report on, and this is the report that was sent, Chairperson, this is the actual quarterly report, on page, yes, it's here, on page 16 of that report, number 2, it dealt with number of land parcels vested. It says target not achieved. I'm drawing your attention to that. So I'm going through that, the next few pages, and highlighting a few areas of non-achievement. We do apologize for not putting it in the slide. And that will cover all the areas that I'm going to raise. In respect of construction projects, we had a target of 136 and we only completed 27. In terms of the IFIPs, we had a target of 2, the Department of Agriculture and Aquaculture, and we achieved 0. In this respect, Chairperson, of non-achievement, these are areas that are now prioritized in respect of our turnaround program in this financial year. And the backlog that we have in respect of disposal is quite significant. We are estimating that, and we will finalize that quantification in the next few weeks, and then have an expedited program to ensure that the delivery requirements from the Department for Land Reform and for Human Settlement are indeed disposed of within this financial year. And that, the respect of the immovable asset management framework in which we were yet to appoint a service provider, part of the reason is that we needed to get to await the endorsement of the operationalization of the PMTE. That was only achieved a week before last. That will have a significant impact on the manner in which we then have to develop the framework or certain guidelines are provided for in that business case endorsed by the cabinet. In respect to backing, it's part of the end of this financial year in respect of the stabilization intervention to also expedite vetting members is a process that we engage with, led by the Department of Land Reform and Rural Development, of finalizing who is the custodian of that project. Is it the Department of Land Reform and Rural Development? Is it the National Department of Public Works or the province? And there is a large number, a target of over 11,000 that needs to be finalized this year. In respect of our construction projects, we have a significant intervention proposed in the turnaround program of fundamentally reviewing and overhauling our construction program management delivery. And that will also deal with the fact that we have service providers, contractors, who are failing to deliver. We have decided on means of mediation and even litigation to decisively deal and have finality so that the courts or ourselves can determine a resolution so that if necessary we could appoint alternative service providers to complete those projects. That is the indulgence. The next part will be presented by our DDG, Mr. Henderson, in respect of our expanded public works program.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and honorable members, colleagues. When we engaged the committee last week, we obviously gave the brief overview in terms of the general thrust and the paradigm shift in terms of EPOP 33, which broadly entails in terms of basically you have said, we should be looking with particular emphasis on the impact of the program beyond the numbers. And the paradigm shift in essence entails broader community participation, community ownership, and then the impact in terms of assets created and services delivered. In terms of actually reports, though, we have extracted three main indicators, if you wish. And it speaks obviously to the numbers, because in terms of the impact, one can one has to give a longer period of time, and as time progresses in quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4, we will be in a better position to reflect on those. So as for now, we would like to highlight at least three key indicators. You will see in the actual report there are seven or eight indicators, but we will just highlight three, and we will be happy to give you answer questions that relate to the program. In terms of the work of the integrator, the target for this year is just less than 1.1 million work opportunities. After quarter one, we can report that more than 423,300 work opportunities have been reported. This amounts to 40% of the program, 40% of the target rather, for the annual target, which if it was a linear projection, obviously would have to expect at least 25% of the 1 million work opportunities, but we have seen that in the structure sector and the non-state sector, there was only achievement against the mostly target of 25%. So you'll see we say it's some based on a 52% progress against the quarterly target, that is, but on the converse of that, at least 40% of the target has been achieved. A key component of the program is training of beneficiaries in relevant sub-programs. And we can report that for the first quarter at least, or almost 900 beneficiaries have been trained through the National Skills Fund. And that is the fund that we secured to the Department of Higher Education and Training. Then in a subset of the first bullet point, we disaggregate that figure into rural work opportunities and in terms of urban, and we can report that more than 318,000 of the above 423,000 work opportunities have been created in rural municipalities. There were quite a few challenges already, none of them particularly new, but ongoing rather, and something that we have to deal with, and we are consistently dealing with that. One is strongly low capacity in many municipalities, especially in the rural municipalities, and in this regard we are continuing our the provision of support, technical support from the side of the department to ensure that rural municipalities will be able to implement the expanded public works program so that poor and unemployed people can get at least some income transfers into their households. Another problem is the poor and under-reporting that is linked to the low capacity, and then perhaps the second one that we'd like to highlight, and I will conclude with this for now, is the lack of mainstreaming. Last week we have emphasized that often municipalities only look at the EPRP incentive grant as EPRP targeted funding, and the league they have said that is minuscule when compared to the equitable share of municipalities. It's important that municipalities should target the entire budget to optimize work creation, and people continue, as you have said, to engage with them the entire, whatever they have planned in the IDPs, that should be targeted towards job creation to take forward the broad government's aim as it has been expressed in outcome 4 with regard to decent work. I will conclude with this one now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I will continue with programs 4 and 5, and then I'm going to hand over to the CFO. In respect of our property construction and industry policy regulation branch and program, as I indicated earlier, we seek to promote the growth and transformation of these sectors and promote uniformity and best practice in both the construction and vehicles of asset management, which we call the property sector. In this respect, our achievements, this program is a program that is dependent and largely in respect of the cost chain, events driven in nature, and often experiences challenges such as delays in stakeholder feedback on policy, on particular policy and political considerations. It also depends on the parliamentary program and its function has a huge impact in respect of transformation in the built environment. Our achievements or highlights. In respect of the AGRIMA South Africa bill, the draft bill was finalized for submission to cabinet. The AGRIMA SA supports and promotes the process of integrated socio-economic development by facilitating the introduction, application, utilization, innovation and technology development of alternate construction materials. It is an organization akin to the CSIF, but focusing on alternative construction, but in material. And it's an entity of ours that needs to be formalized by way of act. In respect of the built environment professions, there is significant consultation. The consultation has commenced with the development of draft amendments to the legislative framework for the built environment professions. This matter is long outstanding, and it's a matter we prioritize, both these we prioritize as part of the turnaround of public work. In respect of auxiliary services program 5, the primary intervention here is in respect of our prestige services, amongst others. In respect of the highlights, our infrastructure support, public works provide infrastructure support to prestige events such as the State of the Nation Address, Cabinet Record Clubs, and State Functions. The challenges. Throughout the first quarter, we had some significant challenges. First is the end of the previous administration and the ushering in of the new administration. The election period was in the midst of this quarter. Okay? And parliamentary programs could not be termed upfront of the targets followed the statutory processes and requirements and deadlines. In respect of our supply chain, there's delays in procurement processes. These, however, are being addressed in support of the core business. In the two key functions that are performed by public works, we are primarily a project management, program management organization, and we are a procurement organization, whether it's in the field of property or construction. And we participate with National Treasury and the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer to ensure that we are reforming our procurement processes so that they are specific to the business we have. Currently, we utilize general procurement processes inappropriate for our services. Our capacity constraints. We have a significant HR capacity constraint. In the main, the budget allocated is insufficient to meet the needs for service delivery. But the endorsement of the PMTE and its ring fencing and componentization would then provide a new HR plan for DPW as well as for the PMTE. What we can say, Mr. Jefferson and members, is that the developments over the last few weeks is that we've had engagements with Treasury and we've restructured our program structure for DPW and as well as for the DMTE into two separate program structures. DPW itself is going to focus on on intergovernmental coordination, regulatory and policy functions in respect of the public works family, an area that we never gave specialized attention to in the past. This would then revise our HR plan, and therefore we will deal with our constraints in relation to the new structures that will come in for the next financial year. Budget constraints are there, like all government departments. However, we ourselves have contributed to our expenditure in the past in respect of our construction project management delivery. And those are matters we are addressing as part of the turnaround. While acknowledging the challenges in this department, we can say there is some improvement in the manner in which how the department deals with the performance information. The department has taken into consideration recommendations that have been made by the portfolio committee, SOPA, and other organs of parliament regarding the quality of our reports. Throughout the financial year, while taking the contributions account, the department, a part of its 7-year turnaround, continues to find ways of improving in areas of concern and focusing on effective and efficient service delivery. I'm going to hand over to the Chief Financial Officer to take us through to the financial information to support our quarterly report.
Chairperson, honorable members of the portfolio committee and colleagues, it's my utmost gratitude to present to yourselves equal to one price of performance of the department. As you know, the department is segmented into two entities. One is the DPW main vote, which is the public vote of funds, and the second is the property management trading entity. And as you know, that's currently treated as a trading account, established as a trading entity, and the processes to devolve or involve this trading entity into government components that the governor has alluded to that in terms of the progress date on that score. As I did say, the statements themselves that I'm presenting would deal with the issues around the main vote and the PMTE. But starting with the main vote itself, I want to start with the main vote budget allocation based on the economic classifications. As you know, the economic classifications used in government budgeting is on compensation of employees, goods services, transfers, infrastructure, and machinery. For our department, the total budget allocation for the year is about 6.1 billion rands. To date, as in the first quarter of the year, ending on 30th of June 2014, we spend in the order of 1.8 billion rands, which is, in terms of percentage-wise, 29% of our budget was spent for a quarter of the year that has expired, which is 25% of the timeline. If you compare this expenditure pattern with last year's levels, we were sitting the same period last year with an amount of 3% being spent of our budget. And when you compare that, there's been a very significant improvement in terms of our spending patterns from 20% to 29% in the current year. If you take the different economic classifications accounts that we spend money on, compensation of employees itself is an allocation of about 1.7, 1.659 billion rands allocated, of which at the end of June, we spent somewhere about 386 million, which is 23%, which is 2% below the 25% mark that we should have spent. If you know, compensation of employees was a fairly average spend the whole year in terms of spending based on the time that has expired in the year. If you compare this year on year in terms of the same period in the previous year, we were sitting at 24%, whereas this year is 23%, which that means we somehow are in a better position to control our expenditure on compensation of employees, which is something that we want to watch closely given the past history of the department, where we've incurred a significant amount of irregular unauthorized expenditure because we've overspent on the compensation of employees in the past years. The expenditure on the goods and services, which is an allocation of 800 million, we're spent somewhere in the order of 259 to 32%, and again comparing those year over year with the same period last year, it's a significant improvement from 10% up to 32% this year. The office accommodation expenditure, we spent about 82 million out of the 497 that was allocated, is 17%, and the expenditure compared year on year same period was 0% same time last year, and the reason being because we've improved our billing issues with respect to PMTE, because that's where billing for the main board comes from. So that shows the improvement there. The transfers and subsidies, 2.6 billion allocation. We have spent 972 million rands, which is 38%, which is 30% above the linear average that we had expected of 25, and the reason being these transfers, their times are going to a particular schedule, and the expenditures or the transfers thereon are according to the agreed timelines to transfer the monies to those entities and bodies, fund bodies. Our expenditure on infrastructure budget, which is our budget for our capital project, we have an allocation of 510 million. We spend about 79 million of that, 510, which is 16% of our budget. As you know, historically, again, that's where the expense of the department is in terms of the serial under expenditure on that item. However, we can see also that we also are experiencing some improvement if you compare year on year same period, 13% compared to what we have this year of 60%. The machinery and equipment is sitting at 25% of our expenditure of our allocation being expended paid. The allocation is 85, we spend about 22 million. And in terms of the economic classification, that's the scenario. We've taken the same budget and moved it and swung it around to indicate what it is that you spend per program. As you know, we have five programs in the department. Program 1 is administration, Program 2 is removal asset management, Program 3 is our expanded public works program, and Program 4, our property and construction industry policy regulation, and Program 5 being our auxiliary and associated services. Taking the same 6.1 billion rand expenditure and breaking it down into the different programs, Program 1, that's it, the allocations as we go along up to Program 5, the expenditure to date again is 39%, and in terms of Program 1, we have spent about 284 of the 1.1 or 1.2 billion rands worth of allocation, which is about 24% of our budget that we spent against the time of a quota that has expired. For the Removal Asset Management Program, which is the highest the bulk of our activity in the department, which is 31% of our allocation has been spent for the quota, which is 875 against a 2.9 billion rand allocation that we had. On the EPWP, which is our second highest program, we spent about 28% of our 1.9 billion rand allocation, which is 542. And if you compare it year on year, we're sitting at 28% currently versus 27% of last year that we had spent for the same expired time period. For the property and construction industry policy regulation program, we have an allocation of 41, we spent about 30, which is 32% against 50% same period last year, indicating some levels of improvements again in terms of our spending pace. On auxiliary and associated services program 5, we have an allocation of 92 million. We spent about 66 million of that, 92 million, which is 72% of our expenditure against the 43 in the same period last year that we had spent, which is a significant high number based on the time that has expired for the year. However, there are specific reasons why the expenditure is so high, because of the activities that are happening in the country at the time or during the period of the first quarter. The next slide, in a way, talked to what I already alluded to in my earlier comment. I just talked about the overall expenditure of the department as at the end of June 2014, the 1.8, and the expenditure being 29% of the allocation. Similarly, compensation I've already dealt with that, office accommodation I've dealt with that, transfers and subsidies that are 3% of the allocated budget of 2.6, which and these are in line with the payment schedules and drawings. In terms of the bulk of the transfers and subsidies that we are making, it's mostly to our entities, as well as the public bodies in terms of the EPWP, Expanded Public Works Programs, and the CIBB, which is our entity. As you can see, the budget compared to the expenditure is almost around 50% for most of them, whereas in certain instances, even 100% or even more in others because of transfers that are there. And that's all. The EPWP refers to promises, 29% of the transfers that were supposed to have been made. The total that we've done today, 968 million against 2.6 billion transfers, which is 38%, a fairly high number. In terms of our infrastructure budget, which I've already also mentioned that we have an allocation. If you look at slide 23, we have an allocation of 510 million, which is about 79 million, which is 60% of the allocation that we've done. And the table that follows indicates the details of the infrastructure projects that we are running as a department, the departmental projects, the prestige management projects, the ICR, the Dolomite projects, land ports of entry, and accessibility projects, making up the 510 in terms of the expenditure, departmental projects that spend about 11% of our allocation, prestige management 54%, ICR we spend about 7%, and Dolomite 33%, land ports of entry 11%, and accessibility projects 13%. The prestige management project is a knock-on effect of the previous years. Accrued expenditure was only incurred in the current year to the tune of about 26 million, and hence that amount be very high. If you look at the inner city regeneration, why the expenditure is so low is because the bulk of that 82 million is the payment that they're supposed to be making to the city of Tshwane, as well as Eskom for power services for some of the core projects that Mr. Guy Ravener spoke to earlier on, in terms of our establishing the government precincts in that area. Machinery and equipment is 1 million and expenditure is equivalent of 25% of the allocation of 85, and the high expenditure leads to the procurement of the computers. We refreshed our entire infrastructure last year, and the payment went through in this year, indicating that expenditure. And then the following slides, honorable members, these slides will then get to the detailed program of our expenditure program one, starting there. As you indicated earlier on, I then will give you the program one and the economic classification per program one, and the economic classifications of employment, of composition of employees, with resources, office accommodation, transfers, and machinery. In terms of the composition of employees for program one, which is the administration program, we spend about 25% of our compensation today, with the services 31%, office accommodation 17%, which is the offices for our 11 offices plus our head office at the center. The transfers 74%, because there's not much transfers happening in administration, and the machinery and equipment, which is what we procured when I spoke about the refreshing of our networks and infrastructure and gadgets. We spend about 67% of our allocation, and part of that is sitting in program one, because we have corporate services under which our ICT or IT is located. I'll skip the narrative because it talks to what I've already alluded to, and go on to the next program, which is program two, that we have a total allocation of 2.8 billion. And of which we spent about 875 million rands, which is about 31% of that. And the, again, in terms of the economic classifications, compensation of employees, we are under the 25% mark that the charter has expired, which is 23%, and goods and services 24%, transfers 53%. That's where the bulk of the transfers are. Yeah, in this program in terms of our entities and in terms of, there's 53% of our transfer city in there. Infrastructure budget is in this program too, 16%, 29 million of the 510, and the machinery and equipment being 80% of the expenditure. Again, I will skip the narrative that follows that slide that I've already made mention of it, and move on to the program 3, which is the EDWP program, of which in terms of the economic classifications, as we have it there, we have spent 21% of our composition of employees. Total allocation is 133 million. We spent about 28 million of that. Goods and services, 17%, 23 million out of the 136 million that we are allocated. The transfers and subsidies is the second area in terms of EPWP, where the transfers are actually, the bulk of the transfers are happening, being to all those current bodies that are executing the job work opportunity creations for EPWP. We spent out 29% in there, and then machinery 16%. Again, I will skip the narrative that follows with program 3 and move go to program 4 in terms of the allocations, just to indicate the areas of under expenditure or over expenditure for each and every one of the programs and the economic classification. Again, in terms of program 4, we spend a total of 32% of our budget, which is 13 million of the 41. So a small part of our program is this one, which is in terms of expenditure. Total allocation of compensation of employees of 40, we spent about 1.9 million of that, which is 30%, goods and services, 11 million against 27 million allocation, good transfers were made, and the machinery equipment, 29,000, that's a fairly small number. And then moving on to program 5, I'll skip the narrative on program 4 again. Moving on to program 5, honorable members, that's a program where we do the state event and all of that. We spend about 72% of our allocation, which is a total allocation of 92 million. We spend about 66 million. And the reason for that high expenditure is because of the issues around the elections and the inauguration that took place in the current year that we have spent and budgeted for. As you know, there are certain parts of our budget that are ring-fenced and earmarked for specific purposes which we cannot utilize for any other in terms of finance and that. And that gives an indication of the list of what it is that has been earmarked in terms of our budget. And if you do a percentage of what is earmarked in our budget, is around the hovering around the areas of about 85% of our total allocation being earmarked, which means that we do not have the opportunity or the latitude to swap and move around the monies. In terms of the turnaround, that's a total of our turnaround budget that we have for the current year in terms of the allocation. We certainly have 245 million rents, and the expansion date is about 81 million. And what are the special projects that are within our turnaround projects to turn around, which is also earmarked, is your SIU for our investigations, is the support team, the team that actually runs the turnaround itself, is the Technical Assistance Unit of the National Treasury, which has been subsequently renamed the Government Technical Assistance Unit, GTAC, that the allocation we need to pick up our internal audit technical support. We need to also look at how do we enhance and maintain the clean audit beyond the achievements that we've received. That's the allocation and list review. Removal at the register, an improper intervention which has come to a halt, and the whole issue around the management and dealing with the irregular expenditure that we have had to do going back many years, as Mr. Governor did allude as well in the earlier report. So that's the turnaround budget that we are running to run all these turnaround interventions to get the department to a higher level of performance. I think that completes the main vote in terms of the budget. I will then get back to do the entity, which is the property management trading entity, in terms of its budget expenditure and income. I'll also try and assist members in trying to make this exciting because it's not very nice. We'll do the numbers. Okay. The summary for economic communication, we've got As you know, there is a quick background on the PMT is that the basis of accounting for the property management trading entity is vastly different to the way we account for the main vote, being accounted for in terms of public votes, funds based on the modified cash basis, whereas the property management trading entity is accounted for on the basis of the GRAP, which is a generally accepted or recognized accounting practices, which is totally different to the modified cash basis. In terms of the classifications, we classified the expenditures on this entity to current payments, which is the current, we distinguish between current payments and capital payments and transfer payments. And in terms of current payments, the allocation is a total of 6.4 billion, and the expenditure to date is around 1.4 billion, which is 22%. And what makes up the current payments is all those elements, cleaning and gardening resources, operating leases, the maintenance, repair, and renovations, those are making up our current payments. Capital payments, which are made up of rehabilitation, to rehabilitate some of our buildings, to repair and renovate those buildings, which are expenses of a capital nature, with an allocation of about 1.2 billion on that, we spend to date about 193 million. And the transfer payments, which is for property payments, we have about an allocation of 960, and we have spent about 13 or 14 million rands of that. So the total allocation is about 8.6 billion. So the property management trading entity is a project, is an entity worth about a total project that's spending to about 8.6 billion as for the year. In terms of the summary of the expenditure for those what is classified, the cleaning and gardening service, which is largely for our buildings, but including for the courts and justice, for the justice department. The allocation is about 258 million. We've spent about 87 to date, 15%. The operating leases, as you know, we run the biggest portfolio of leases for any one entity. That's about 3.7 billion rands that we pay for somewhere in the order of about 3,000 leases. Today, we spend about 877 million or 878, which is 24% of our expenditure, of our allocation. The repairs and renovations, and in terms of the rehabilitation, repair and renovations, which are more of a capital nature, we have an allocation of 1.2 billion. Today, we spend about 193 million. And repairs and renovations, the thousands of current expenditure, in terms of what you do not have ties to your properties. We have an allocation of 1.5, and we spend about 250 million or 251 million. The maintenance, which is a day-to-day maintenance that you are running to maintain the buildings in terms of all works that is done, we have an allocation of 979-980 million, and we spend about 247 million, 65% of our expenditure. And the property rates, the taxes that you're supposed to pay, the total allocation for the entire portfolio of states that they have, in terms of payment of these rates to the municipalities, we have an allocation of 960 million. We spend somewhere in the order of about 14 million rands, and I'll explain the reasons why some of those have happened. So again, just the restatement of what the scenario is currently, that we have an allocation of 8.6 billion. We have spent to date 1.6 billion against that 8.6, which is about 19%, against 25% of the term that's expired in the year. And we have then also broken down that plan maintenance that we have, which is the maintenance that we do for our buildings per office and permission, and that's the breakdown of the reasons. And as you can see, the total percentage of the budget allocation would be, the highest numbers would be head office, it would be Bloemfontein, Cape Town, it would be Durban, and that's just a breakdown of the allocations and expenditures that we've incurred to date against that. Similarly, we've done similar exercise for the expenditure per client, and that we are servicing in terms of the what has been allocated, 2.4 billion of client money that is searching what to do, certain work for themselves, for the clients in terms of maintenance and repair and renovations. That's what it is, about 2 billion, and expenditure to date is about 246 that we've spent this 12%. And then that we've also broken down into the different regions in terms of offices that we have. We've taken clients and taken the total of what is coming from the clients and allocated for the offices that we do. And as you can see, the highest offices there, I think it's Cape Town, Durban, and Pretoria, in terms of the allocations. Maybe just to highlight why the rate and taxes percentage was very low in terms of expenditure, that 960 that it allude to, it is because the payment of the rate and taxes is done in advance, as the municipalities tell us at the beginning of their financial year, and as you know, the financial year of municipalities starts from the 1st of July, or the year and 20th of June. So we will see a lot of invoices coming through in the quarter that we are in now, and payment happening, so the 1% will significantly increase in the next reports that we will be coming to present to yourselves for quarter two because of the billings that will be happening. In terms of revenue, there are the expenditure. We have the other side of the expenditure, the income that we are collecting to be able to meet the expenditure that we've indicated to yourself. If you look at revenue and expenditure, there's almost a one-on-one kind of ratio of our revenue to our expenditure. The total expenditure that I did indicate earlier on to honorable members is about 8.6 billion. And if you look at the, I'm saying the expenditure that I indicated about 8 billion, the revenue is almost similar to that. And that's how the PMG has been set up. And that revenue is made up of state accommodation charges, which is what we collect and charge to the client departments or the offices that we are providing them or accommodation that we are giving them. Then we also have private accommodation charges, which is the leases that we get and on charge that to the client departments to recover. That's about 3.7. State accommodation is 4 billion, which is that's billion. And then our leases is 3.7 billion. Then we charge a management fee or payment of municipal services on behalf of client departments. We charge a percentage fee to those, about 5% of the actual charge of what we are paying. That's 190. The augmentation is a subsidy or a grant coming from the main vote to PFTE to make it survive into the future and become what it's meant to become. The allocation in terms of the total is about 673 million rand. And other in all the others in terms of what we do in terms of collections, small numbers that make about 45 million of that. So the total revenue in terms of budget is about 8.4 billion. To date, that's what we've claimed. I think that comes to about, we've claimed about 2 billion of that 8 billion, which is about 25% of what we budgeted. What we received is about 21%, which is the third column that indicates that we've received, we've claimed 1 billion, we received 1 billion for state accommodation, private leases, we've claimed 655 million, we received 387. The management fees, we've claimed 38, we received 35. Augmentation, which is a transfer from my boat, we've claimed and received the same. Yeah. In terms of the expenditure, so the total what we've received is about 1.8 billion rand. Against the expenditure that we've incurred today of about 1.6 billion, made up of the cleaning and guarding services, the private leases that we pay, the rehabilitation and repair maintenance, property rates and taxes, and the municipal services, giving us a total surplus of PMT of about 156 million rands. And when you look at our bank overdraft, we're sitting about 283 million rands. So that's a surplus, 156 million. What we did is we just wanted to give you an indication of what it is that we are doing, salary accommodation, as a state only. We've taken the top 10 banks that we are doing business with. If you go back to the previous slide, state accommodation was 4 billion rand. Of that 4 billion rand, top 10 clients of the department that we are collecting in terms of charging, we are collecting about 3.9 billion of that 4 billion. So this is a small number. This is about 97% of what we are getting. And those top clients are your defense, service, correctional services, justice, world affairs, health, agriculture, insurance, public goods itself, labor, and home affairs. So that's what we are collecting. And 97% of our total accommodation charges are coming from only 10 clients against a portfolio of about 50 clients. And like I'm saying, the recovery rate there is extremely impressive. It's about 98.5% of our recovery. And if you look at the previous slide, the short-term clients we've invoiced about 972, we've received 100%. So the balance of the 1.5% is likely from the smaller clients that we are not collecting. And we just tried to make explain that further. If you take our summary accommodation charge for private leases, as I did indicate, private leases, what we give us today is about 496. The top 10 clients, what we give today is 645. The top 10 clients account for about 496 million, which is about 75%. Again, indicating that we have a fairly skewed client base in terms of our business. And I will not get into the detail of that in terms of what we invoiced, 655, how much we received against what we would have gotten, and of that, what we received in current year 388, 163 million was towards prior year balances, which indicates that we are now pulling up on our taxes and collect the money that are due to the department. The report 4% of current year invoices were paid, and at the end of June 2014, and 31% of the current month issued invoices were recovered. Only 70% of prior balances paid at the end of June 2014, and the top 10 clients that did indicate accounts for 76% of all invoicing to the 64 clients that we have in the department's portfolio. Similar kind of exercise we did for the municipal services. Of the 260 municipal services that we have paid, we are doing, I think, just a number of 960 of each 8. I'm just trying to see what it was. It accounts for 93% of the total of the top 10 clients alone. So, literally, the business of the department of PMT is servicing top 10 clients, and you can see in terms of the nature of the clients that is those that are fairly significant in terms of size and in terms of the decentralized manner of operation of those clients that we have to service them. 93% in terms of that. And we have then explained as well that what happened with the rest of the others. And then we have to capital infrastructure. We do capital works for clients. And then what happens is we pay, and then we recover for clients in terms of the capital budget allocation that we are given, that we're supposed to be doing. And the top 10 clients, which we invoice today, 159, we've received about 62 or 63% of that. Well, out of 63 million of that, which is about 39% in terms of recoveries. The total was where is 60? I almost had 60. Did I put it? Okay, I'm going back instead of forward. Yeah. Total amount issued for countries is about 16. We received about 60, and 39 of it was paid towards the prior balances. 47% of current year invoices were paid at the end of June 2014, and it recovered 1% of the current month invoices that were issued. All prior invoices are fully paid with an overpayment of 90 million. Over half of the overpayment is from correctional services that we are going to be having to do more work for. And we have a similar thing for another category of infrastructure recoveries from clients, which is the 63 million that we have, of which we only received about 29 and 33, which we will be collecting from clients, and there is no issue with the collectivity of that 32 million itself. I think maybe I might just look at the data speech analysis. Our total debtors are sitting at about 2 billion, which is on slide 63. 2 billion of which current year is about 1.047 billion, and a prior year amount that's only is about 1.012 billion. Almost half of our debtors are sitting in prior years. I think this again indicates the difficulties that the department has had in the past in terms of collectivity and proving to clients the money that are owed so that this money can be recovered. We have since entered into a partnership or collaboration with National Treasury, for the collection of those monies, and the improvement will start to be materialized on those old outstanding debts of the department. I think that concludes the presentation on finances, honorable members, and I thank you. And that concludes the presentation for the entire department. Thank you.
On that concluding note, we'd like to thank you, members, comments, questions. Honorable Sitole. Auzwakali, ETA ithathile le mic. That DA mic works very well.
Can you hear me?
Baba Tole, Mashala Pantrok, Kalanija. Whilst Susami is on mic, I'd like to propose that we have a tea break. Let's take 15 minutes, digest the presentation, give them a chance to recoup their breath. I'm told I do a photo hot water, it might be outside the door instead of inside the door, is that correct? So kindly do have the hot water and cold drinks that are available. We'll reconvene after 15 minutes. The deepest watch in the room says it's 10:45. So 11 o'clock we'll resume proceedings. Thank you, good folks. Mamfund, now we are women and we are going to talk about like her. Thank you.
Okay. This is a very important organization.
Well, it might be the cheapest, but it works. Baba Tosh.
Chapter 24 of all, we must congratulate and recommend the department for what they have done and the presentation that they have presented to us. But my chapter on the annual budget, this book, there is a Commonwealth War Grave Commission, which have been budgeted, I think, about 21 million, 21 billion or 21 million. But there is nothing that they said about it. If you can find out it, what expenditure on that one. And that one, Chairperson, is that of client department, departmental clients. If you check, Chairperson, there's a lot of department that are not paying. So what I want to find out, the mechanism or the service that they have as a department to collect from those departments which are not paying, because they have to recover all this money that has been spent to those departments. And Chairperson, on the presentation on page 9, Chairperson. On page 9, the inner city regeneration. The slow pace of this inner city regeneration, Chairperson, is growing. Because now we are talking about this, they are going to do in the rural areas, where else we are failing even to go to metros. If they can give us the indication what is the problem, Chairperson. And the other one, Chairperson, is on page 10, when they are talking about the immovable assets. They were very quiet about the overseas immovable assets, which are not in the country. I don't know, sometimes I didn't hear them. And the last one, the other one, Chairperson, is on page 13. When they are talking about the capacity, they show they don't have the capacity on municipalities, especially in rural areas. What are the government doing to have those municipalities? Because we cannot just say we have no capacity, but there is no, because there's a big challenge, but there's no mechanism for the vacant people. Because they always know that the lower municipalities, they don't have those capacities. And the other one, Chairperson, is on page 15. But I think this one must be there's a lot of, because there are too many. In the environment provisions, the amendment, the legislation framework, we don't have the time frame, because that thing is a long outstanding issue. They have the time frame for that amendment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Sitele, we thank you. Ntate Mubu, and then I salute you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a few questions. For me, I think it would be just a question of clarification. What are Dolomite projects? If you just explain to me, I don't have no clue what Dolomite projects are. Secondly, what sanctions are meted out to departments that don't pay or don't pay in time? Is there any sanction that is meted out to such departments? On slide 46, I did explain CFO as why property rights were not paid in time to municipalities. But I'm wondering, isn't that a time of year when municipalities really have financial problems because they're not getting the payments done? Because, you know, I mean, red constitute one of the biggest sources of revenue for municipalities, particularly rural ones, that fail to collect from the private individual, but to rely on them to be able to get them that serve. There is an expenditure on page 43, slide 43, with a budget of 36 million and expenditure of 28 million. Why this expenditure, irregular expenditure? Explain what that is, please, to me.
Are there any plans to avoid this in the future? And the third question is, if the department is responsible for getting leaders for the department, why is it that a few years ago we had a problem with a police commissioner and a lease agreement with a such individual? I thought that the department would have been the one responsible for that, but why was the police commission involved in that and not the department? And we saw that the police commission, of course, the list of injuries. Maybe I don't understand the procedures. Maybe you can just explain. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Mrs. Adams. Chicken Marbra.
Thank you, Chief. And thank you for the presentation that we received. I'm a woman and vraag wat ik een volgende keer ga antwoorden. Maar baie dankie vir die aanbieding. Ek dink eintlik is 'n bietjie baie om een keer te kom, want dit is baie, baie vraag wat ons moet uit het gevraag. En as ons bijvoorbeeld sê die financiële gedeelte by 'n tweede ontmoeting met die departement kon gekry, so dat ons kan duidelik kyk na hierdie departement met die vlagskip word van die regering en hierdie potensiaal om dit te maak. My eerste vraag gaan om te keer dat ek in Afrikaans mag praat op slide 64, slide 64. Ek weet toevallig die DDG kom van my provincie af. Hy is Afrikaans sprekende, chronica senior, so mense is Engels sprekend. So hy sal van die help met die antwoorde.
Ik kan nooit zeggen of je het een spoeg vindt in dat ze.
Maar op eerst zullen mensen aan de Afrikaanse praktijk, voorzitter. Bladzij 64, 8, 64. Daar is op zo'n manier reminder letters have been sent to client departments on all outstanding balances. When was it sent? What was the reactions of the departments? He said you held meetings with client departments. What kind of engagements? What promises were made? And then you said you had a meeting with Treasury. What is the outcome of the meeting with Treasury? Because then it would give us an idea when the outstanding amounts would come. This is the first one here. Then on this one, page 15, on program for property and construction policy. I want to note, Chief, that the BEP is a draft amendment to legislative framework, and the custodian of these entities, how far is the framework, where will it be before Parliament, when are you bringing it to this committee? Then, Chair, on Program 5, there were challenges named, especially on the SEM processes. They named it related, this is slide 18. They says there are delays in the procurement processes. What kind of delays? What measures is put in place to preempt for the delays? And they say they have budget constraints and there's monthly interrogations. I'm really glad that there are monthly interrogations, because that's the only way that we're going to set these challenges correctly. And I have, as previous member, also a question on slide 43. He asked a question on immovable assets, as I would have done. But I want to ask on the SIU, the special project, why is only 12% spent a quarter of the year? What was the challenges that they entailed there? And just 0% and 0%, what's that? You know, when you go through these things, you should explain to us why is that done in this way. Because we have a special function. We must interrogate how the money is spent. And then, my other questions are on the EPW project, and it is this one. 33 of 39. You know, the Department of Public Works is the custodian of EPWP projects of our country. And this is a way that we try to speak to the challenges, the three challenges that we have in this country of unemployment, poverty, and inequality. And yesterday, South Africa released I think it's the quarterly report to say that especially amongst the blacks, I want to define the blacks, the Africans and the colored, there is only, it's less than 20% Jefferson that has skills. That was from last night news. Now, on page 33 of 39, so much opportunities were created. And I must congratulate you that you said that it's 40% of the target, the set target, that was reached. But I won't stop Jefferson to ask what kinds of skills were transferred. Do we make a dent in this unemployment unemployment that we have in South Africa? You say that you have challenges with a technical support. Does Department of Public Works help with technical support, especially in the provinces? When you transfer money do you follow the track of that money to the provinces? And then you say you name underreporting as one of the challenges that you have. Now, what are you doing to curb underreporting? You know, Jefferson, there is an abbreviation that they say born BBT, born before technology. Exodus started as ons nog in die tech per was. Maar sien jy is 'n groot bedrag vir IT in die soort goeders. Kan ons dit goed digital volg? Is dit moontlik? Sodat ons kan volg wanneer die bedrag uitgegee word, sodat ons kan volg dat EPW-projekte wat gedoen word, dat betaling betekst gedoen word. Want wanneer betaling gedoen word, beïnvloed die kwaliteit van ons mense se lewensgehalte. Ek gaan voortaan dan baie dankie dat ek mag die vraag vra.
As jy klare kan jy maar die mikrofoon afskak. Nou, your first comment was that there's only one lady present and the one lady has disappeared. So there are no ladies present. So she can't hear what you want to say about her. The next we have is end up Bob Masango.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. And I've got my pages here. Page 18, Chair, I think that's my first question. I think that if the department can tell us, they talk about capacity constraint, especially in the release process, they might just tell us how many we can say are there that needs to be filled and maybe we position, because they're complaining about capacity constraints. But the other thing that's happening sometimes, we all know that money is not enough. I mean, we can be given money and keep on complaining. When we do our APP, annual performance plan, it is based on the budget. Now, I'm just not sure why do we complain about the budget constraints again, because whatever we do on an annual is based on our budget. So I'm not sure, they might just tell us why are they now complaining about the budget constraint based on what? Because they plan according to their money. They didn't plan out of sight to their money. And then the next one is page 23. Yeah, infrastructure, I think the department, even if I look at the targets, they are actually not doing okay with infrastructure. And really, this is the biggest concern, because we really want to see job created in South Africa, and the job is the most important thing. And if they are not doing all right when it comes to infrastructure, then in other ways, we are not creating jobs. So that's the biggest problem. And I think that let me just respond on that one. And then page 41. So page 41 has been asked, but my question is just, no, it's a different card, but my question is IDT intermediaries. If I can just get an answer, what is that? Because I know what is IDT, but I don't know IDT intermediaries. And then page 43. Yes, if I can remember, I've been told it is a turnaround strategy, if I did hear the presenter correctly. And as the presenter saying, these are consultants that are doing this job. I want to get that, because we're talking about the regular expenditure here. I'm not sure whether there's a consultant working on this regular expenditure. We're talking about Limpopo intervention. I'm not sure whether the consultant working with the same with immovable asset register. Are these people different people doing something job on behalf of the public works? And then page 46. Okay, I think we didn't ask answers on the property rates, but my question is, according to the presenter, municipalities only start to issue invoices to them when they are annual year started, that is in July. But here is 1%. If you can tell us where this 1% comes from, because it's the best what where does it come from, this 1%. And then here on the other bundle, page 16, that is where the targets are actually. I just want to get that interpretation. What is it? If they talk about land parcel, say one parcel, how much is that one parcel? Because I'm not sure what it is. What do you call a land parcel? It's just confusing. There were 11,000 land parcel. I wish that I'm not clear what is that. Maybe they can explain what is a land parcel so that I can be. But here is also one of the concerns, because so many people have made this and people are looking for land, and you know, land reform is looking for land left and right, and they are very far from reaching this target. I think this is the biggest worry also that we should attend to. Thank you, Chair. Chair, there is one question I'm going to ask, but I'm just still looking for something. I'll come to it. Thank you.
Okay, whilst you are looking for your lost question, if I may, the land parcel is a lot. A lot in the property sense, L-O-T, like a residential lot, your stand that you have. So when they speak about land parcels, it will be several allocations or portions of land or lots. But they will speak for themselves. Honorable Adams, I must report that the one and only lady is back, and she's earning a living by sharing information with her colleagues. So it is clear that they did not bring her along for religious reasons.
Did you find your question about Mata? Okay. Please put it.
This is in regard with the EPWP. I think Nelson can look at page 33. You can see that you see number of work opportunities created, you see 423,387. And then you go to the next page 34, you talk about 20,000 work opportunities. As you see, Department of Public Works. Then you see target not achieved. You talk about those 1,000. I'm not sure which are work opportunities that you have. Are these separate work opportunities or what is it? I'm just a little bit lost. Because at some stage you haven't achieved, but there you see you achieve. So just explain this so that the person can understand which one is and what the other one is. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Then we go to Honorable Mr. Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry about the voice change, just the silence and the flu. But Chair, I just wanted to find out from Public Works, the contractors that they use, have they been paid on time? Now the contractors are always complaining that they have to wait for their money. And at one stage it was called Department of Police Rate instead of Department of Public Works. I just want to find out, has the turnaround strategy involved also the payment of the contractors within the 30-day time limit that has to be paid? Thank you.
Right, thank you. Could we perhaps pause here for a rejoinder from the department to the comments made, questions asked, and after the input we'll have another round of questions where members will be able to post further questions. I've noted the two members who are still to ask. Department, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. This is a comprehensive list of questions. I will just start off, and I'm going to ask Mr. Harrison to comment on the EPWP, the CFO on finance, and I'll come back to issues that have not covered. The Afrikaans is new for me. I don't make hands, me and Afrikaans. But I will try and
hope that we call it Zamazam.
But I think I did hear. The point she has made is that why is our delegation so poorly represented? Is our management in fact male dominated? Yes, it is male dominated, but at the DDG level we do have three females who are DDGs. And two of them were supposed to be present today. And unfortunately are not here as part of our delegation. So we do apologize for that. But as a department, we are just over 50% female dominated as an organization. But I take point in relation to the delegation present here today, it is indeed a poor representation in that regard. I think the question we want to deal with is whilst I'm getting Mr. Henderson ready, is in relation to the turnaround and the questions that were asked there. We've identified many projects. The SIU is one of our key service providers. Unfortunately, they have done a lot of work but have not billed us timely. In fact, 2 days ago, we had a meeting between our DG and the new head of the SIU. One of the issues we raised is that they should bill us more timely. So, it's not an under-expenditure. It is a slow receipt of invoices from themselves. But the heart of the question has been, do we use consultants or outsiders? And the answer is yes, we do. In the finance and supply chain area, given the significant challenge we had, which became virtually dysfunctional, we had to bring in a service provider, but we made a strategic decision to bring in over 100 interns, so that those interns could be developed. And in fact, we have now employed here, for how many of them? 45 of those interns have now been employed in the finance, SCM environment. So when we bring the service providers to come and help us with a clean audit, we realized that we needed to bring in qualified graduates, train them over the last year and a half, and then those who have performed successfully get employed into those positions. Most of our projects that you've got there on the immovable asset register, we also had to bring in service providers. We ourselves had to employ staff on a fixed-term contract so that we can deal with the significant challenge of determining how many land parcels do we as a national government have. What I can tell you is that exercise has revealed to date between us, other national departments, and the provinces, we have approximately 189,000 land parcels. But then we haven't even yet dealt with the actual hectares or organs, because some of them are yet to be surveyed. But we can, from time to time, indicate the respect of survey properties, the extent of those hectares. And I think in that regard, we will keep you posted as we complete the asset register project. So like that, many of the projects in the turnaround are supported by what is called program or project management offices or outsiders. We try to use our own staff. Where we do not have that, we then try and force in graduates. Like on the lease project that you see, that's the phase two. Part of it is we need to employ 18 staff so that when that project is accomplished, we'll have 18 persons who can then continue that responsibility. So there is a combination. Now, the decision to justify the use of consultants is that public works at its wrong bottom. Now, there's a contradiction, because we sit with about 6,000 staff, but many of the staff are not necessarily in the areas of the corporate, and they are in general corporate services. For example, in our property management, in some of our regions, we virtually have just one person on duty. But in others, we have more than that. So we have a significant problem. And I think the one point that was made, shouldn't we be operating within budget? Yes, we should be. Now that's part of the poor history we've inherited. We hope that in the development of the new structure for DPW and the PMTE, we will then begin to address what is the core business, where should staff be prioritized, and we then begin to fill that. So the current HR plan is even outdated and has to be reworked once we get approval from Treasury, even on the PMT budget structure. And that would mean working from October through to February is going to be a significant period. Then we will determine what is the new capacity constraints that we do have. What the minister has articulated from the work we've done is we lack the professional and technical skills in our construction program management office. You will see in the presentation, we have a target of 20 projects to one professional project manager. We are sitting at 2.1:45. Okay? And so that means on the current compensation budget, you can't achieve. It means we'll have to engage with Treasury on a new compensation budget. If you look at it also, there are 229 artisans that we are producing for a program. Those are the key technical skills that we require for the repairs and maintenance of our buildings. So I thought I'll make those as our general points before Mr. Henderson comes in, let us hear more, and then I can respond more specifically to questions that they've left out. Mr. Henderson, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Mr. Members, mine will be brief as I link to different questions. Yes. The first question goes to the ELP's question of local capacity municipalities. And it's an important one. And many of the other questions are actually in a way related to the low capacity municipalities. It's a problem that we have identified, and it's often as a result of staff rotation, and once again also capacity constraints in the case of the municipalities. But not only municipalities, but that goes for other provincial departments too, as a matter of interest. And so the other questions with regard to technical support that is always linked to that particular question. Namely that we as the National Department of Public Works, we are responsible for overall coordination and monitoring evaluation, and as part of that coordination role, we provide, we identify the problems with regard to the implementation of the EPOP, and then we provide what we call technical support. Technical support that will, in a way, unpack that, it entails a whole range of things. Amongst others, designing of projects in a labor-intensive fashion, assisting implementation, and then also assisting with reporting on what is being done. So what's the department doing with regard to that? We provide a whole range of services. There are 278 municipalities, and the fact that all 278 can now report has a lot to do with the kind of support that we have provided over time. What we want to emphasize, though, is that this is an ongoing problem because of staff rotation. Because people come and go, and next time you go to the municipality, you suddenly find that A, B, or C is now missing because people have moved on. There is a question with regard to what skills are transferred in our training program. And here, in a nutshell, the skills, we focus on artisanal skills. Whole range of electrical, sometimes decaying. We would like to point out, though, that we have had a fair degree of success, but it is not nearly enough. We are working towards the Department of Higher Education and Training with the CETAS to ensure more funding, and we also are engaging with the community bodies so we can prioritize training and prioritize training in their own budgets. In terms of the community question, I think I've addressed that question already, but they will just add with regard to only reporting, it's often because of the lack of capacity, but also because of our own departmental systems problems, and that we have to put up front of this committee because we are in the process of developing a phase 3 system. Honorable Adams, yes, we are in a cyber age, I suppose, and so web-based reporting is actually the order of the day, but we would like to improve on the system that's currently operating. So phase 3 will be involved in that process already to improve the system that I've put in part of this, the problems with the reporting. Tracking of payments, yes, we do track the payments. There are two questions with regard to this. The question of tracking of payments and then the or tracking of disbursements and tracking of payments. Let me talk about the first one first. Tracking of disbursements in terms of the incentive funding. Yes, we do track what happens to the funding that's transferred because it's linked to specific projects. So we can provide the details in regard to that. The answer is yes, we do that. Second of payments is a more difficult one. Payments are done by implementing budget, not by the Department of Public Works. But whenever it comes to our, we do two things in regard to this. We follow up on all queries. And secondly, we also conduct our own regular site visits. But with regard to site visits, this is obviously a sample of the vast number of projects. So we do a follow-up and we put particular emphasis on the issues that the Auditor General has raised with regard to record keeping in municipalities, amongst others, because often they don't do proper record keeping. The IDT as intermediary, this is the Chair member, this is a particular, for want of a better word, project management fee that is paid to the IDT with regard to the implementation of the non-profit organization programs. Programs we run with NGOs and they provide a particular service in this regard. Lastly, Chair, with regard to the targets, and that I'm referring to the Honourable Member's question about the Department of Public Works performance. That CO target forms a subset of the overall EPWP target. So the Honourable Member referred to the 20,000 work opportunities, expand annual target, and then the overall target for the year amounts to approximately 1.1 million. So what the indicator 7 of page 34-59 where it refers to is the department's own performance with regard to the EPWP, and this is a matter obviously of concern, and we intend as the EPWP branch to engage with the relevant branches within the EPW to ensure that the department itself will make a valid contribution with regard to the expanded public works program. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll just try and answer. There's been a bunch of questions that I'll probably need to respond to. I'll plug them together where possible. I think the first question from Honourable Sitole had to do with the Commonwealth War Grave Memorial. The question was, where is that expenditure? I'll just put up a slide on slide 26. I put it up, it indicates that we have a budget of 21 million. Or 22 million, 21.7 million, and we spent about 22.5 million already. So that's very expensive, and actually a transfer to that entity, to that body. And the transfer is more than, in terms of the actual expenditure of the transfer, is more than the budget because of exchange differences. Remember, this is a transfer to an overseas body out there as part of the Commonwealth contribution that sort of connects to the war graves here. I mean, so that's the transfer that we are into. The next question has to do with the, and there's a number of questions that pertain to that, is with respect to the non-paying clients. With respect to the non-paying clients, or what happens to clients who are not paying, or what strategies have we put in place to ensure that we collect money that are owed to the department, by client departments. Maybe I'll just take a step back and say, you know, we started off with the turnaround project 2 years ago. One of the first things we do was to do a diagnostics. A diagnostics of a number of things, one which is a diagnostics of what is the reason why we have such high levels of outstanding amounts from client departments. We then uncovered from those diagnostics that there's a lot of the claims that we have as a department that have been disputed by the client departments. So as a result, we will need to do a reconstruction of those accounts and all that. Part of the process when you do the reconstruction is to look for supporting documentation and ensure that you substantiate the claims against those documentation. Now, a lot of this goes back to many years. Many years ago, 2005, 4, 3, somewhere there, that claims that the department is having on other kinds of departments which are not paid because there's been disputes, all disputed. some of these disputes are resolvable, some of them are not, because in certain instances we can't even find documentation because of the loss of documentation, the flood that happened, and all of those kind of things. Now, what do we do to try and resolve those headstones? We've started to engage the clients extensively. We have reconstructed their accounts. We've started to engage in client forums to discuss these matters. We've engaged the resources of the National Treasury Trust as a mediator on the matter. Second, the issue around the collection of the money, given the fact that the outstanding amounts that would have been paid to the department years back would have been returned or not used by client departments and would have been returned to National Treasury. So what do you do? National Treasury is assisting an extensive global matter. We are having monthly meetings on these issues to try and resolve the recoverability of all of this. And as I said, I mean, if you look at our 2 billion rands of our debtors, 1 billion relating to the current and the other billion relating to prior. The one for the prior year is an amount which is in dispute and is that we need resolution to a tune of about 350 million. The rest is not really a problem. And if you break it down into the category of why would we be owing that money, it would be around the leases that we recover, which we recover from our clients, would be around the capital expenditure that we need to recover from clients, and charges that we have. And in terms of the recoverability and how we are collecting today, those amounts are not at all in danger at all. So we're collecting all of it. The issue being the historical amount that we need to be collecting. Then there's a question on the property rates. What happens? The point was made that municipalities rely on these payments for them to survive because owners normally do not pay on time. And what about us as a department? And what happens to time when they are not earning? What happens to them in that intervening period? I must hasten to state that, like I said in my presentation, the payment for these property rates and taxes are done in advance. So the municipalities would issue an invoice when the financial year starts, and all of their money would be paid upfront. So they are not out of pocket. However, there is a challenge that we know as in the country with respect to the debts by government departments to municipalities for services, and that includes things like rubbish removal, electricity, water, and all of that. And I think the Honourable Member in the expression of the issues around the non-payment of municipalities, I would relate the issue to those kind of payments with respect to services and electricity, water, and all of those things. And the amount that has been quantified by National Treasury, as you know, is to the tune of 4.6 billion rands, which is owed to the municipalities. What we are doing with that currently is as a department, we've been appointed the main coordinator to work closely with the National Treasury, with COFTA, ourselves, SAGA, to resolve the important interdepartmental team, which meets every second week on this matter to try and resolve it. And I think the process is underway to try and close on this one. That's the bigger debt that I was referring to. In terms of the property and taxes, those are paid upfront, and this will even improve further as soon as we are done with the asset register, because you need to be able to link up the charge from the municipality for the registered tax to the asset that is sitting in the asset register, so that that payment can be made to an asset that you know we own. And I think that's been the challenge between ourselves and the municipalities, that the charges at times for the property rates and taxes would not be for properties that are within the department's ownership. And then there was a question on irregular expenses on slide 43. And this is a fancy. Oh yeah, on slide 43, that there's a budget amount of 36 million for irregular expenses, and the actual expenses have 28 million. This slide here, it indicates all expenditures that can be related to turnaround. So we are not saying we are having a 36 million rand of irregular expenditure. I think we should have actually clarified this to say these things are projects that we are running. So we are having a project that, in terms of the requirements of the Auditor General, if you go back to our audit report, going back to a number of years, where the Auditor General had requested that for us to do away with the irregular expenditure, negative credit finding would require us to go back, many years to go ahead and review our transactions that took place, all of those transactions, and identify whether any one of those were irregular or not regular. Those exercises, we have to engage and still, you know, additional capacity to assist us with that exercise, because we're looking at nothing less than 1.2 million, million transactions going back to the tune of somewhere in all of 98 billion rands. So that project had to deal with that uncovering of our of money expenditure going back many years. And that process is complete, the inspection is done, and you will see from the reports that we'll be presenting in terms of the annual report what the outcome of that exercise has been. So these are the projects that are running in terms of the turnaround, to turn around the department. SIU, I think Mr. Governor has indicated that it is slow invoicing, that's why it's not happening. The DAOs, just not much in terms of the amount there, and in actual fact we also have an invoice. Most of this is external support to help us expedite the achievement of particular objectives. And most of these things are driven by the issues around audits and all of that. So for us to be able to be ready for audit and significantly improved outcome, we'll need far to review the releases and do it on a particular time. But the current capacity that we have in the department, we need to augment that capacity. Similarly, with the removal of the register, the important intervention, as you know, was the Section 100. It was not done by external people. It was a settlement of officials from government, from our department, and from the National Treasury to the corporate to go and assist with the Section 100 intervention there. So yes, if you look at most of this turnaround process, the one common trait around the way we do them is that if we involve external bodies, one of the key deliverables is skill transfer and capacity building. That's what we believe in. And that's all of those have been conducted in that manner. And now we've achieved quite significantly. Mr. Governor has indicated that for the Keynote project itself, we've in total engaged 100 graduates, undergraduate graduates. We've employed full time into the department, 45 of those. And the balance of 65 have been taken up by industry, by other government departments as a result of the contribution or investment that we have made in them. They became employable and are now elsewhere in economic activity. I think I'm just trying to finish off. Is there anything? Yeah, okay, you'll come back to me. Okay.
Ms. Ngosi Gunagandhi will answer questions on construction, and Ms. Florence Zabal will answer questions on international properties, and I'll finish with the remaining 7 areas to cover.
Thank you, Chair. I think the first one was the issue of the dolomite. Just clarity. Dolomite is a dolomitic condition. It's conditions of soil that we have discovered around the housing area. What happens, they create a problem when you construct during the settlement. Then our buildings start to crack, and the details that we've done to deal with those conditions. So we classify them as such. At this point in time, they are around the housing areas. But not rather than just the soil conditions that have created problems. When it comes to that, we've got 38 projects, a budget of 39 million, which we have spent. The second issue, if I can just pass on the dramatic issue, is the issue around the payment of contractors, which was also raised. Yes, we have a challenge in terms of paying contractors within the 30 days, but we have improved. What has contributed to those issues were, in some instances, the actual invoices came to the department without the supporting documents. So the clock started ticking. At a time when we sent the invoice back, that's where the problem started. But in the meantime, we've improved, and in most of our payments, if not all, we are within the 10 days payment. The last issue, the issue of the under expenditure. We are experiencing under expenditure. We've got a number of reasons, but I'll just highlight a few. One of them are external factors. externally in the sense that we find that our service providers are not performing on site. They not perform to a point where we terminate contracts. Because of that, instead of being terminated, obviously there's little time for procurement for us to get completion contracts. So the target that we set for ourselves, then in that way not achieved. Targets including the expenditure because of those reasons. Also again, some of the issues are related to planning, where you find that we plan that site repudiate, site clearance deals with issues that talks to municipalities whereby we deal with the zoning, the usage of the building, then you get the certificate, but especially the services, even if it's an existing building, because you need to increase capacity, so you need to do that exercise. Again, planning in terms of that has proven to take a lot of our time for us to get the site cleared for us to move. So in that instance as well, now we get delayed in our project that late, where we expect to spend money on site, to find that it's not on the first quarter, not on the second quarter, only on the third quarter when the site has been cleared and the actual planning work has been done. So again, this is a lot of our projects, you'll find them stuck there. The last one, as I said, not limited to the thing, but in the main, these are the things that are making us not to achieve on time. The scope change as well, which again, you find that our client departments, they will change scope, again, that affects the program. However, with all the three issues, we have done something. Firstly, the scope change, we do have standing guide meetings with client, which is conducted through our camp account management on a monthly basis, where we discuss the issues and define each other's client. There is improvement in terms of that, where we limit scope change, but sometimes it doesn't because of policy changes. So we do discuss those issues with clients. In terms of the planning, again, because of the turnaround, we are improving in terms of our planning and our life cycle of project so that we can target according and proper projects and improve in terms of our interaction with municipalities where we can get cleared quicker. We do that. But obviously, the federal has got its own lead times where you need to consult, a steady-based consultation, and which are stipulated accordingly in terms of that. I think I've covered it now. Yes.
Thank you very much. Once you are trying to empower the only lady with the one, just to say that the answer with regard to Dolomite was profit. But we have different stratas of geographic layers of the earth. There are certain portions where they say there's dolomite. The soil is such that it's malleable. After some time, it's prone to movement. So houses that are built on such soil end up having your cracks and all those. So at times, it's not just a function of badly composed or mixed building materials, but also houses that are properly built with the requisite mixtures of cement and everything. But if it's on dolomitic soil, then it will crack. Madam? Yes, sir.
All about that. But when government or any construction company put up a house, what is one of the things they do is to check the condition of the soil. Soil taken to the house to tested, to be tested to make sure that this is. But I'm hearing stories like in Johannesburg where people have to be moved from certain places because they were built on kind of I think that the expenditure after building is much more than when you first built. So how do you expect that to do that?
My short answer to you. There are areas like in Johannesburg, right in town, where you've had people occupying a stretch of land because it's close to town, and then building for themselves. And then as a result of the number of the people that are so built illegally, then local government is forced to provide services, your lights and everything else. but then you remain with the structural problem. And then over time, you try and local government seek to convince people to move elsewhere. And even when they are told, I know this particular area because that was my constituency in the past, people would say that, no, this is convenient for us. We are prepared to say, yeah, you are speaking about Dolomite, we haven't seen it. It's only when the houses start cracking and when they see the results, then you have slowly the buying of the community. Sometimes I'm saying it's a function of both. Ignorance of our people, at times you might find that the requisite studies, where new areas are built, then such studies have to be carried out proper to construct housing, townships or whatever else it's called in this particular area. So it will be a function of multiplicity of those reasons. Madam?
Thank you, Chairperson. The question on DECO. DPW, PMT does have sight of the immovable assets that
I'm going to remind you, when we use acronyms, not everybody works on a daily basis with your acronyms. There are quite a number of people who don't know what you are talking about. So you should then be just unpack your acronyms.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Department of Public Works and the Property Management Training Entity does track have sight of the immovable assets that are owned by the Republic of South Africa, but which are located outside of the boundaries of the Republic of South Africa. Currently in the asset register, we do have 101 land parcels and 108 improvements, meaning the structures that are built on top of improvements. Because we find that in other cases, there would be more than one improvement that's built on one land parcel. And that parcel, as the governor had indicated, is just a, it's just a, an entity that is surveyed. You cannot, it's like giving your child a name when you put a peg. The surveyors do put a peg on the land parcel to ensure that the signs of the parcels are delineated. So you cannot be able to register a land parcel unless it is surveyed. So before the register of deeds can register a land parcel in the deeds register, it is required to be surveyed by the surveyor general. So currently those are the number of land parcels that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. My job is to mop up, but I think you are too early with your mop. Ask a question.
Seven is not answered. Thank you, Chairperson. But previous persons have started off the seven areas that I'm covering. Well, one is on the turnaround and the consultants and the use of consultants. As part of our turnaround strategy is to begin to eliminate and or minimize the use of consultants in the rebuilding of Department of Public Works and the establishment of the property management trading entity. So the consultants that we've inherited, the clean audit project has come to an end. In the efficiency gain, we would then not use big consultants, but try to see how we build capacity within the areas of finance and SCM to do that. Like that, as the current asset register project comes to an end, we will then begin to build internal capacity. The government minister is quite clear in respect that we cannot have consultants running government. Neither can we have consultants coming to deliver on that which we ordinarily should be having employees to do. We must acknowledge that in respect of our inner city regeneration program, this project, I am aware now, has been with us since before 2005. To date, we have made no significant impact in terms of building in Selvacop. But the factors are, one, the manner in which Tshwane itself is willing to move. Currently, we can't even build if there are no bug services. As part of the turnaround, and in the case of the PMTE, we are creating a special projects unit to focus on the development of towns and cities with a special focus on small towns and rural areas. And to this extent, then, it will mean the current bureaucratic approach to delivering even the construction that Mr. Villegas is talking would have to change significantly. If we benchmark against private sector, they can put up a headquarters with 40,000 square meters in a matter of 24 months. Yet it takes us in government currently 5 to 6 years. So the turnaround would be, that's why in the PMTE, to be less bureaucratic, more service delivery orientated, yet be absolutely compliant with laws and regulations that guide buildings. To this extent, we acknowledge your frustration in this regard. You should measure us at the end of 2015-16 financial year, because that's when we hope to give you a significant improvement in this area. In respect of the leasing environment, yes, it's true. Ordinarily, a client department must not and should not get involved in the actual lease process. What a client department should do is identify a need. That need is then tested against norms and standards that have already been developed. And public works then, using those norms, then develops the specification and procures either from its own stock. If it does not have its own stock, then from private sector, either to lease or to lease, to build and lease. To this extent, then, the said official that you have mentioned ordinarily should not have been involved in the process at all. In terms of the built environment professionals build, now there are many issues, whether it's the ICR, the industry regeneration, whether it is the AgriMy FA or the built environment profession. These are all part of the backlog which was supposed to have been done years ago. In fact, some of them had been tried before and those processes halted. The turnaround now focuses that we must see this through to some finality. The question is, when would it come before Parliament? Well, the first thing currently we hope to do an analysis of the public comments that we have received to have such finalized by the end of this month. We therefore will then engage with the Minister to ensure that a revised policy is then concluded by the end of November. Draft one of the amendments to that bill to be developed by the end of January 2015. Thereafter, processes with the government would have to be followed, both in terms of first class committees as well as to cabinet committees, before it makes its way through to cabinet. And these processes, unfortunately, are time-consuming, are deadline and protocols to be observed. If all goes well, we then anticipate that in April 2015, based on cabinet's endorsement, that is, it will be the first opportunity for it to serve. It may not be able to come to Parliament before cabinet gives its set of approval. But we acknowledge that it is a work that has been outstanding. In respect of the vacancy rate, I think the old structure does have vacancies. But to rush and build them based on the old structure is not going to be helpful to us at this point. We now have to restructure the department in terms of the new approved budget structure and the PMT. And then working with DPSA, determine an appropriate structure. And and the target for us is to have all this done because it has to be implemented from the 1st of April 2015. So we think that we should defer a hasty response to you and rightly say we want to fill the vacancies we have. So we rather take a targeted approach and getting the capacity in key areas, even on a fixed-term basis, whilst we await for that. In respect of municipal rates and taxes, it's very clear that the department did not pay any significant attention to clearing up that backlog. There are two projects unfolding at the moment. One is to the $200 million that we need to expedite in payment. The second is the $4.5 billion, CFO, that approximately that would need to be cleared in terms of rates and taxes. Now, we are working with National Treasury in this regard. National Treasury itself endeavored to try and assist. The problem here again is some of the municipalities aren't able to back it up a proper billing system. And so we are initiating a project that together with Treasury that hopes to address this issue. Because municipalities are suffering if we do not pay those rates and taxes. And so we hope to find some answer to this question that has been bedeviling us in the last couple of years. I can't promise you the outcome because part of the difficulty is this accounting and billing issue. Maybe the way to go is to try to negotiate a settlement in this regard. But I'm hoping that the project conducted by National Treasury and ourselves begin to find a solution in this regard. The last issue comes to the whole issue of turning around. Much of the areas of underperformance that you've identified, take construction. Our failure to deliver on the infrastructure on the construction project means we are, one, preventing government from having appropriate service points. Two, creating the necessary jobs to put up that infrastructure and maintain it. So part of the turnaround is to fundamentally overhaul how we deliver our infrastructure, try to bring it closer to private sector delivery time frames, and that will help us to steer the economic job opportunities that our country surely needs. We ourselves have been around many parts of the country looking at the service delivery points, where the Office of Home Affairs, the South African Social Security Agency facility for payment of grants, or the Department of Labor, the South African Police. The quality of that infrastructure is not to the expected standard of government. And that is, every building we lease is a part of the backlog, because we're supposed to have them in a government building. So if we are leasing about 3,000 2,700 facilities at the cost of $3.7 billion, it meant that money could be utilized to put up buildings owned by government to the standards required. And so the turnaround for the next 5 years is going to have to see that significant change. It's not going to be, we can't come and claim that at the end of 2016 we would have transformed public works. It's only halfway in the 7 year turnaround program. So I want to also try to minimize high expectations in an unreasonably short period of time. Thank you, Chair.
Before I give the two outstanding members, I'm sure we appreciate what you say when you say that high turnover in a short space of time, and we speak about the next 7 years. When members of parliament ask the pertinent questions that they do, it's from the realization that they have a sell-by date of 4 years. So they want to see progress while they are here. They cannot speak for the next parliament. So I'd also like you to have an appreciation for that. When they do pose the questions and there's a sense of agency, it's also from that perspective. The department may say that we have a 7 year turnaround strategy, but those of us who have been around here and we have served in several portfolio committees as chairs and as members are also aware that there are quite a number of departments who became notorious. They've had so many turnaround strategies that they've turned 360 degrees. So we should also be careful about that. Mfanishu, Mason, you are the next. And then I've also noted you, ma'am.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thanks from the President of the day. I have number one question. I take it from page 38. I just want to know exactly how much did spend in the inauguration of the President. Not just the high expenditure, the amount would like to know, like those which are indicated. Number two was about the EPWP, but the payments, but now I'm covered because the answer says that it is the delaying of the invoices. Number three, but I don't think it is part of this, but I'm going to talk it because it's from the municipality. It's about the word colleges in some informal settlements. They are making the projects of the toilets there. So the other toilets are selling about those white committees to the immigrants, person those don't have the IDs, are using them for the passport. So I just want to know, is it allowed for those white committees to sell in the things of the government to the people? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Sabongama. Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Some of the questions have been answered. Let me start by commending the department for the report that they gave us today, and also commend them again for the transfers in the manner in which they have already done them, because they've indicated that 24% has been done already. It has been a problem in most cases that departments were just dumping towards the end of the financial year to either the entities or the municipalities or the provincial departments. So we want to thank you very much for that. And also I want to say thanks that you also indicated that the billing system we are addressing the problem. It has been sitting with municipalities for quite a long time. The result told by the department that we cannot pay you because their bill system is faulty, but no one tried to assist them to show that the bill system is credible and they really pay what is due from them. My question again is about the artisans that have been trained by the department, which is a very good thing, but out of those that you have trained, how many have been absorbed by the department? Did you manage to absorb them all or what? And what happened to the others that were not absorbed? The issue of the asset register also, it is also a very problematic one also to the provinces and to the municipalities. Is the department in any way having a way of assisting them so that they know how to do this, because it is really a problem to them? The last question that I want to ask is about the staff. There is a perception out there that there are a lot of corruptions and so on and so on. Do we have any staff members who have been suspended from our department? If so, do we have any turnaround strategy where we are able to address those disputes or the suspensions within a shorter period of time? Because in most cases they take a long time. Thank you very much. I think you've mentioned all.
Honorable Masihela, thank you very much. I would like us to perhaps take responses to the questions that have just been posed, comments made, and then I saw two hands that had been up earlier on. I'd also like to make the House aware that we are in injury time. It's 20 past 12 now. You may answer officials from the department.
projects. Could I take it? Thank you, Chair Bimbers. It's very dangerous to answer a question that you don't understand fully, so if you don't, a question with regard to the toilets being sold and to shoe rent and VLP question, or, so I would, I don't know.
The member did say that it's a local government question, and if I recall the question correctly, she was asking, is it within the purview of local government councillors, officials to sell toilets, the toilets that are made. So if it's something that you are not au fait with, it becomes dangerous to answer something that you don't understand or you don't have the requisite information or authority to respond to you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, that is relevant. That's why I'm asking the question. And I would refrain from answering the question because it does not pertain to the EPWP specifically. So, but I would like to attempt to answer the question regarding training. What happens to artists being trained? It is important for this committee to understand that the training is taking place across different implementing bodies, which means across municipalities, provincial departments, sometimes national departments, and as such, there will be different serious come that they have to take responsibility for that. What we do is go to the accreditation department. We monitor that closely, but what I would like to talk to would be the what is specifically within our ambit, and that is I referred last week to an intake of 100 trainees and learners. They've been trained over a period of 3 years, and they are different stages. Some of them have been absorbed by money companies in the Northern Cape. Others have been absorbed by we have developed a detailed report. So the department itself, I know there's a concerted effort to absorb some of them within the department. What I would like to suggest is that the relevant division in the department, it falls under the human resource or corporate services, they should perhaps provide detailed answer or written answer in this regard, so that this house will know exactly what the department itself is doing in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
If I may, in regard to the question that the Honourable Member Sonti asked, over the weekend I was in my constituency. Utrecht stretches to Blowbosch, and it's a semi-rural area, so there are councillors who are responsible for rolling out basic amenities like the toilets that you referred to. So in that particular area, the issue that was raised by community members was that there are certain areas where toilets are rolled out as a responsibility by the council and councils. But where the complaint was that they would roll them out, and then when it comes to me, I'm jumped, and she's also jumped, and the next yard or so, people get toilets. So what we want to emphasize there is that the resources of government will be rolled out fairly to all our people, irrespective of what political party they belong to. When there's a council in place there, the council has been given the authority to empower the community without fear or favor. So that's a point that always has to be emphasized. So irrespective of which department is faced by such an issue, is the responsibility of members of parliament to report such cases so that it's taken up with the relevant local government authorities. We should also remember that when we have our constituency offices in various areas, as members of parliament, you will be a member of parliament of a particular political party.
but the office that you occupy, irrespective of where it is not a party political office. That's the area where people forget at times. It's a party that's open to the general public. So each and every person, whether they belong to the Blue Moon Party or the Green Red Party, are at liberty to come and ask for services, and it's our responsibility as members of parliament to service people without looking at their political affiliation first and foremost. I am framing the question broadly, but the trunk of what I'm saying is that we as members of parliament, when you realize there are irregularities, report them to the relevant authorities and take them up. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, thank you for raising the concern of your limited term in this government. Our turnaround is already over 18 months, over 2 years old. We only have, we are targeted to achieve by before the 31st March 2019. So it's well within the brief term of this government. So we'll be able to hold our accountable. Most of the targets would be achieved by 2017, but some would drag on to 2019. In this respect, I think the training of the 229 artisans, we need to open what you call workshop facilities in conjunction with provinces throughout the country. And so these artisans will definitely have employment opportunities within the Department of Public Works or the provincial departments of public works in the workshops to repair and maintain our buildings. So, like we did with the graduates, where we employed over 45 of them, here too is our intention to employ these people in our workshops. But currently, honorable member, they are actually in training. In respect of providing assistance and services to the province and the municipalities. Currently, we cannot resolve the access register problems without working cooperatively and collectively with the provinces and especially the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. To that extent, we share and assist each other. We are creating the PNTE, the case just approved by Cabinet, and asset registry services. We hope that this unit will be able to provide technical assistance to municipalities. But we're not in a position today to be able to do that. We will develop that capacity and offer it. It's our intention. Between us and the provinces, we would have completed our asset registers by March 2016. And then we can focus on the need to provide assistance to municipalities. Insofar as that is linked to the billing system, the project to expedite payment of the municipal rates and taxes, which we are conducting, will look at seriously how to assist some of the municipalities. That's why the joint project with National Treasury is necessary to involve SALGA and OCOPTA to expedite this. But we're now making the same serious formal effort to get this issue of payment of municipal rates and taxes sorted out. It cannot drag on beyond this financial year. Okay. And you can, I'm sure when our further visits, keep track on what progress we are making in this regard. Okay. I think in relation to the rest, I think were more comments, Chairperson, that were made, except that one very specific question, which I'll leave to the CFO to answer on the spending on the inauguration of the president.
Chair and honorable members, the spend on the inauguration of President of the was about 14 million rands for what we spent for the infrastructure provision. Really outstanding, Mr. Chairperson, was our fight against fraud and corruption and people on suspension. Currently, as I sit here today, there's no one on suspension. We've either formalized the issues in terms of disciplinary actions and or concluded it. But it's likely we are going to have people on suspension, because our fight against fraud and corruption has not ended, and we are making discoveries every day. The issue at hand is not to have them on suspension for too long a period. And that's why, if you look at our internal audit technical support, is where we bring in outside capacity to expedite putting together the disciplinary charges and conducting those hearings. Part of our problem in the beginning is you could not rely on the staff in DPW to adequately rise to that challenge. They would have delayed matters out for a long time to the point where it becomes stale to pursue a case. And so, in the turnaround, we have that capacity and capability built in. Together with the SIU, way to a more higher level of investigation that is being conducted. We can from time to time report on progress. Our minister does give an update. So the direct answer at this point, as I sit here today, we do not have anyone on suspension. Yes? Yes. Well, we are in the process of hearing, but most those who have to be hired have been dismissed.
Okay, on that fiery note, you had your hands up, gentlemen. Are you?
Yeah, Chair, I think I'll withdraw some of my questions, but I just want to caution that the more we talk, the more questions arise, actually, and it's very dangerous.
On that dangerous note, may I say that the number of issues that emanate from the first quarter report as it was are obviously ongoing issues. And where there are pertinent or urgent issues where we need a fuller report or engagement, we will request this. But so far, we have information to go on. There are a number of other aspects that we could have engaged, but time. We are very cautious of time. The issue in regard to the 449 leases that expired in the first quarter, we need to find out which clients have confirmed. There are other ancillary issues. I'm just highlighting that one, that we could and will continue to engage. So I don't want us to think of this as a once-off engagement, and then we'll see the department next year this time to report on the same issue. Where there are ongoing issues, we'll interact with the department in order to empower members with information so that they can engage their constituencies and vice versa. So it's an interactive, ongoing relationship, constructive but critical. So this is what we seek to achieve. Where there are challenges, we'd like to know about them. We don't want to read in the newspapers when there's a major issue that could have been shared with the portfolio committee. Because the first port of call of any journalist will be to tap on our phones and say, did you hear? Did you hear what? Then we get the news. The following morning, you'll have to account. So let us have this constructive engagement. Share information, challenges, failures, and also how to rectify those failures. Because the brief is one to do the best that we can for the ordinary citizens of the country. From the department, seven gentlemen, I realize, and one lady, thank you very much. And honorable members and stakeholders, I thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned. There's cold tea and coffee.
It's sold more expensively these days. You drink iced tea, so I give it to you free of charge, iced tea, iced coffee.
Thank you.